Romans 13. Let's start down with verse 11. Just read a couple of verses here this morning. It says there, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Father, I certainly appreciate the folks that gathered here today, a good crowd this morning, quite a few visitors. We appreciate it, Father, and we just pray as these folks go into an afternoon, perhaps, when they'll spend time with family some, I pray that you'd protect them, Father, be with them, give them opportunity to witness. I pray for those that have sent cards and letters and tried to reach out to their family, that you might help some to take heed. We're grateful for your goodness to us and thankful for for all the things that you've done for us over these last weeks when it's been so cold, and you've granted in the main safety through this. I know there have been a couple of car accidents, but we are appreciative to our God for our safety. We pray this morning you might show Jesus Christ clearly. Father, may folks be willing to look beyond just a typical traditional Christmas story and see the greater truth behind, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now my text is verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And so he's talking about it being night, and so the next day is important. Now everybody here knows something about the poem, 'Twas a Night Before Christmas, right? And I know this is not the night before Christmas because this is Christmas. So that would have been like, duh, last night. And you'll just have to forgive me because this sermon came together yesterday on the night before Christmas. So you'll just have to understand as I go through this. But the world, and for that matter, the Lord, puts a lot of emphasis on the eve before things. For instance, we can go down a long list. There was the Passover Eve from the Old Testament, from Exodus chapter 12, where that on the 14th day they killed that Passover lamb. The blood was to be stricken over the door, a lintel, and they eat all that flesh that night. There's not supposed to be anything left over because the next day is Passover. And you know that Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was sacrificed for our sins, and most importantly, was made possible that blood could be applied to all of us. There's also the eve of His birth. That's what everybody celebrates here today for. Last night would have been Christmas Eve, and so again, it's the night before. 'Twas the night before. And we're not talking about Santa Claus here. We're talking about Jesus Christ, but is the eve of His birth, and of course there is the eve of the crucifixion. You had a Last Supper, a gathering of the disciples, the Lord praying for them, informing them of some things that they didn't know before. Then eventually the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed and sent there before first Herod, then Pilate. And so that was the night before the crucifixion. The night before the resurrection, nobody really knew what was happening, and they were all surprised to learn the next day that Christ had risen from the dead. But you'll take note here in this passage to bring it together. In verse 12, the night, Paul said, is far spent, the day is at hand. Now what that means is that the current prophetic time frame you're in, the church age, the Lord views that as nighttime. Because what that preempts is the morning when the sun, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. Talking about Jesus Christ coming back the second time. Now, so I want to preach to you this morning for a little while on it. It's still the night before. I know that today is Christmas. I know what the poem says. But for us, prophetically, it's still the night before. The night, though, is far spent. And the Bible says the day is at hand. I was thinking about a number of things here because for the world, of course, Christmas Eve is followed by Christmas, and then New Year's Eve is next week, followed by New Year's again on Sunday. all the Jewish holidays were held, and it would all, you know, all the time there would have been eves before the real thing happened the next day. I remember the Christmases of my youth and how the kids, we were so excited. We would count down about 345 days every year. I mean, hardly got into the new year before we were counting down and all that kind of stuff. I'm a little ashamed of that now that I know the truth about some things. But these nights before things have certain characteristics. And, you know, you can kind of gauge how you're doing spiritually as a Christian by how you're approaching the eves before something happens. And I just want to point out to you, it's still the night before in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. You don't have much time left. If you need to get saved, I'm telling you, you don't have much time left. I don't know how much time. You may have no time left. Fact of the matter is, the Lord could come back literally today. But the night is far spent. You don't have much time left. If you're a Christian, you don't have much time left. You don't have much time left to endure. You don't have much time left to go through more tribulation or more pain or more sickness. And you don't have much more time to work until the Lord comes again. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And you should be looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ the second time. Sorry, He doesn't just come once. He's already been here. He's coming again. He's coming again for us, and then actually comes down and touches foot down at the second advent of Christ. But importantly, the night is far spent. You're in the nighttime now. Now, tomorrow is a big day. I mean, you thought the big day was the day of your wedding. No, there's a bigger day coming. And the night is far spent. It's still to this hour the night before. And I'd like to talk for a while just on the fact that, you know, these eves, the nights before, have certain characteristics. And I know this is a general thing, but it's something you should think about if you're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. And in fact, if you're not, you should still think about it. First of all, let me just say one of the earmarks of the nights before some major event, especially the second coming of Christ. First of all, there should be anticipation. I mean, there should be an expectancy, an excitement, an anxiousness. You've heard now for days how people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, turkeys with their heads cut off. I presume turkeys run around with their heads cut off like chickens do. But for days, because not only was it Christmas, but the storm was coming in, and so it was going to get so windy and so cold and so much snow. Everybody's scrambling around trying to finish buying the Legos and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, trying to get ready for family to come over and all those things. But the stressed out shoppers, because of the expectancy, the anticipation. And I have to say that I'm a little ashamed now as an adult looking back at how petty and self-centered us kids were, I mean, for Christmas every year. Because like I said, we started the countdown. I mean, when Christmas was over, the next countdown started. And the fact is, we would count it down all through the spring and all through the summer. Can't wait for next Christmas. It's kind of funny because, I mean, Mom and Dad didn't have any money, so we never got really what we wanted that much. But next year was going to be different, you know. I just want to say that was always somewhat disappointing. I got news for you. This one's not going to disappoint you. Okay. Bible says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. We looked forward to birthdays as kids, and still kids still do, and that's fine. The world is bad about it. They look forward to New Year's Eve because they get to just party down, just outright drunken stupors, right? Mardi Gras, you know, the beginning of, you know, well, any excuse to party. The Super Bowl, oh boy, yeah, that's coming up. That'll be good. You know, you just get drunker than skunks and, you know, just really anticipate it. I always anticipate travel. One day I'm traveling to a far country. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, and I never sleep well when I'm anticipating travel. I very seldom get a solid night's sleep the night before I travel. I would to God that I was in better spiritual shape and that I could be actually virtually sleepless now for the fact that I was looking forward to Jesus Christ coming so much. But as it is, I think I'm backslidden and I sleep pretty good. But I say that for these nights that precede the big day, they should be filled with anticipation, expectation. For the Passover, the Jews, for the first one, didn't quite know what it was going to happen. They'd been promised some things, but they didn't see it in fact and in completeness. For the night before their crucifixion, the disciples had been told, but I'm sure they had not fully grasped the horror or the bloodiness of what was about to happen. As far as the resurrection eve, they thought Christ was gone, and apparently none of them was looking forward to Christ rising 3 days later. And so they kind of missed that until he finally showed up. The eve of Christ's birth, the Jews had been looking for their Messiah for years, and somehow had kind of gone off into obliviousness, so it still surprised them, all those things. I say all that to say that one of the things that marks the eves, the nights before major things, is anticipation, excitement. And I just want to say with regard to this matter, what you should see the expectancy of Christmas as is the mother. I mean, that's the daughter of the real thing, which is Christ coming back to get us. What marks those eves, ladies and gentlemen, is that you stand. This is not just another day of the year that comes around once in a while. It's not just another Easter. It's not just another birthday. It's not just another Valentine's Day. But it's the fact that there's coming a day that you stand at this hour at the convergence of prophetic events where when Christ comes back, things will never be the same again for you, but also for the entire world. I mean, it changes everything, and you need to be sure that you're ready. But it anticipates all sorts of things. It's anticipatory. It's an expectancy. That's what it's supposed to be. We looked forward to Christmas so much as kids, and every year, invariably, it was disappointing because my aunt always gave us socks and underwear, and I wanted something better than socks and underwear. And somehow she never got cool and gave us what we wanted. And Mom and Dad didn't have enough money to give us what we really wanted. And so again, sadly, every year there was this element of disappointments. But ladies and gentlemen, most of you folks that sit here this morning are well aware of the signs and the seasons and the times and all the prophetic teaching that we've preached and taught, and quite literally, the next event on the Lord's calendar. I'm not talking about, I don't know if it's 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now, but the next event on the Lord's calendar is this night ending. And the night is far spent. We don't have many moments left. It may be mere seconds. Seconds in the Lord's time is different than seconds in man's time. I get that. Fact is, it's only been 2 days in the Lord's time since he left. 2 days. That's not long. Now, whether that equates to the end of that 2 days being another 10 years for us or 20 or less, much less perhaps, I don't know. I just know that you should stand this morning as a Christian in expectancy. If you ever can get more excited about a Super Bowl or about a Christmas or a birthday than you are today about Jesus Christ coming back, you're really not right with God, because he can literally be back anytime. I just want to say that what builds there is this expectancy. We're supposed to watch and pray. Everybody knows that after you watch for a while, you expect something to come around the corner, somebody's going to come pick you up. And you've been out in the cold for 10 minutes and you've been here forever, it seems like. And so you start lagging and you want to step back in and get some warmth and so on. And sure enough, you look up and there they are outside. Okay, well, you're supposed to watch. You're supposed to pray. The Bible says that you're supposed to be earnest in your waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And why should that be? I'll read you a verse. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, because for some reason I can't get it started out of my mouth this morning. It says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Somebody's been waiting expectantly, in anticipation, can't wait till Jesus Christ comes back, right? There's a lot of things that get straightened out in that hour. And I just assure you, I don't know who is all is here this morning. I don't know all your thoughts by any stretch, but I hope you realize the fact that Jesus Christ came once, according to prophecy, and fulfilled all that were supposed to take place in that first coming. Does that not make the second coming all the more sure? He's due any time. So let me just mention the second thing then. First of all, the night is far spent. It's still nighttime. I know today is Christmas. Yesterday was Christmas Eve. That's when I got the idea. But the night is still far spent. I mean, it's still nighttime. Tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow's the sunrise. And you should anticipate that. It should be an exciting thing for you. I want to say, secondly, the word memorial. Religiously speaking, you know, people talk about Christmas and we're supposed to, what? Keep Christ in Christmas. And that's been the big movement. You keep Christ in Christmas because it's become this corporate conglomerate marketing mess and all that kind of stuff, all kinds of things mixed in with it. Problem is, I'm not sure how much Christ was in Christmas. Just to be for the truth record here, Christ wasn't born in December. Okay? And there was not a drummer boy, just to be clear. The wise men didn't come till 2 years later, just to make sure that you know. There wasn't a tree, at least a Christmas tree. And, you know, the presents were gold and myrrh, not Legos and Mr. Potato Heads. Just for the record. Since then, Santa Claus has come in and swept things away. And so you can do what you want to do. I don't believe in lying to your kids, but you do what you want to do. No problem. I'm not judging you. That's why we don't make a big mealy out of it here, with living Christmas trees and Santa Claus all over the place and lights and, yeah, whatever, singing elves and stuff. But I want you to see that for most, you know, it's the night, it is the night before. And for all these things in the world, most of them are memorials. Christmas is a memorial. We're supposed to remember Christ's birth. We're supposed to remember the baby in the manger, all the nativity scenes around churches and stuff around town. You go and look at the same nativity scene over and over with the same overweight baby in the cradle. You say, what's the point? The point is, they're memorials. They look backwards on something. The world's added its own twists, and now New Year's Eve is traditional, and Mardi Gras is traditional, and stag parties and hen parties, I think they call them in some places, before weddings and all that kind of stuff. 4th of July, the Sturgis motorcycle gathering, all the Renaissance festival, all those things are just excuses, really, for the world to get together and live like the devil. That said, they're always rearward looking. They're based on some tradition, something that's happened in the past, and that's all fine. There are two ordinances, in biblical ordinances in the church, that do look backwards upon the death of Christ. And for instance, the baptism does that for when you got saved. And communion does that for again, when you got saved, but it memorializes the Lord's death. But till he come, I just want to say that in most of the world, the parties are all about something that's happened in the past. And really, for most people, Christmas doesn't mean much about the future at all. It's really all about the past. The Christ child came. And the baby in the manger is much less intimidating than a wounded man hanging dead on a cross, or for that matter, that man having been risen from the dead. I just want to say that it's a memorial. That much is true. But the Jews of Jesus' day were so rearward looking in their honoring of the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and all those things that they wound up killing their own Savior at Passover. They were so rearward looking, they didn't see that something was happening in the present that had to do with those things. And so with that, I simply just say that there are not many churches today that stand in anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ, the blowing of a trumpet, and the sounding of the voice of the archangel to get us out of here. They're not. It's not about that. It's about, you know, honoring the day and going back and remembering all your nostalgic memories about how your family celebrated Christmas. Oh, it was so wonderful back in the good old days. And making sure the grandkids get connected to presents and envy? the marketing corporate conglomerate of Christmas. So it's important that they have a part in it. No, ladies and gentlemen, the night is far spent. It's still nighttime. And what you should be doing is anticipating the future. It's not about memorializing just the past. It's about the fact that this next step, this next thing could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. The Lord may not wait till spring. I'm just saying that the eve anticipates the future. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's not just anticipatory. It's a memorial, but it looks forward to the future. I want to say the third word that came to mind in thinking about this was celebration. People celebrate, quote unquote, Christmas. They celebrate Easter. They celebrate birthdays. They celebrate anniversaries, St. Patty's Day, Valentine's Day, Columbus Day. Really, anything will do, because they want to live like they want to live. But Christmas is supposed to be a celebration, and the New Year's is supposed to be a celebration. For many religious people, the celebration is dead serious, and I understand. On the other hand, the world will celebrate just about anything. You know, Castor Oil Day. Where's the beer? Right? I mean, I go to preach in Battle Creek, Michigan with Brother Stewart. And Battle Creek, whether you know it or not, is the home of Kellogg's and Post. And so they have a cereal festival. You know what people do at the cereal festival? They get just as drunk as they possibly can. Any excuse will do. So you say, what are you getting at? Well, folks become a good deal less party-minded about the rapture and about the second coming of Christ. And I want you to know that, you know, it's nice to be a Christian so that I can look forward to Jesus Christ coming back and resolving this mess. For me, it's a celebration. And Christmas to me and Easter are real, only in the sense that they connect me with a Savior that came, that died, and it is resurrected today, alive, by the way, in my life. And he's not imprisoned in some traditional memorial celebration. it's a celebration for me that he might come back today. And I hope it's the same for you. If you are ready for heaven, if you're ready to no longer get any older, if you're ready to get rid of the aches and pains, if you are ready for an anti-Biden-less existence, then you should be looking forward to what's going to happen. It will be a celebration. It's the night before now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. If it's far spent, you say, well, Paul said that 2,000 years ago, which means it's 2,000 years closer today, and you still don't know what the end of time is. You know it's not 1,000 years from now. You know it's likely not 200 years from now. There is no reason to think it's anything but days away, moments away, hours away. We're told to be ready at all times because it's imminent. It could be here any time. You should celebrate that as a Christian, because this next thing solves all your problems. There's not a problem here for us in this earth that the rapture doesn't solve. Now, it leaves the world still in a mess with a lot of hell still to come. But for us that are saved, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that the rapture doesn't solve. If you're ready for joy, if you're ready for fulfillment, if you're ready for faith to become sight, if you're ready to have your immortal eyes knocked out of your head and to understand some things you never even thought about, the rapture is the thing for you. And as we go through Christmas here today, and y'all go be with family and open a present, whatever, you know, praise the Lord and God bless you. I mean that. But let us not live in the past. Let us recognize that the night is far spent, the day's at hand. Tomorrow is a totally new day. And I mean the atmosphere, everything in this life, anything that is material, anything that is temporal, will change in that moment. It's something to be celebrated. It's something to be anticipated. It's something to memorialize for the past, but true enough, you must go forward because that's the future as well. I'd like to say you should celebrate it. There's something else I'd have you see, and we could go to a dozen passages, but the idea of reunion. One of the themes of the season is family and friends. And so we've heard for 3 or 4 days now, you know, where families didn't get a chance to go be together because of the terrible storm. It must have been the devil that raised the storm because it kept our family apart. Or it could have just been a norther. Say, what's the point? One of the themes of the season is family, friends. I love my family. We had the kids that are here over the other night, Friday night, because we knew that today was busy and tomorrow they're doing something else, and so we got together Friday night, okay? So I understand having the grandkids and enjoying time together, but, you know, for some, that's what Christmas is family. And there's nothing wrong with that. I remember our family gatherings when I was a kid. Again, when, you know, Christmas was all year round such a big deal and so anticipated. The Stevens side of the family would get together on Christmas Eve invariably. I never remember a single Christmas Eve that weren't at Granny Alice's. And there we opened presents and all that kind of stuff. And going home, everybody's looking out the window trying to see Santa Claus and stuff. And yeah, my mom and dad lied to me. And so you go home and you go to bed and you don't sleep because any sound is plainly Santa Claus. But you can't get up either, because if you go out there, it might run him off. And Lord knows we don't want that. You say, well, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I understand those gatherings. And again, the world has that version where now Vegas is supposed to be family friendly. So you can take your whole family there and leave your kids with babysitters until while you go lose your shirt, you moron, right? But everything is now family friendly. But You, Christians, are on the eve of a family reunion. Let me have you turn real quick with me, just Ephesians chapter 2. I read it in Sunday school. But you have the privilege and the honor of having been made a part of the family of God when you got saved. And it says in chapter 2, verse 19, now, therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, because that's what you were and worse, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, His household, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Just look in chapter 3, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You have the privilege one day very soon of when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel sounding off and calling your name, we get to go be part of a family reunion. And like I said, that's what makes it for many grandmas and grandpas and mothers and fathers who want nothing more than to have all their kids back around, gathered around them, for even if it's just an evening, just even if it's a week. But it's universal across the world. Mankind wants to be together as a family. And so I just want to say that one thing that we get when the voice sounds and when the rapture happens, we get to go be a part of a family reunion like you've never been a part of before. You ever think about this? Okay, it talks about the generation of Jesus Christ. It prophesies back in Psalm 22 that a generation shall serve Him. A generation. A generation, a new generation occurs when, okay, a father and a mother have a son or a daughter. That son or daughter gets married and then they have kids. That's the kids are the next generation. The grandkids are the next generation. It takes, a generation is just one group of people of the same age group. I know you've ever thought about this. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, right? What am I as a saved Christian? I'm a son of God. I'm of the same generation as Jesus Christ. You know, we always think about family reunions, and you got the old blue hair codgers sitting over in the corner, you know, with their false teeth falling out and having to worry about getting back up to go to the bathroom again. And then you have, you know, the 45-year-olds that are sitting around and talking and the 35-year-olds that are drinking beer and then the kids that are running around like crazy and all that kind of stuff. You have all this range of age group. Now, if you ever thought about this, but we go to heaven, the trumpet sounds, the trumpet blows, we get out of here, we all wind up on the streets of gold, and there are no old people. There are no little kids that have to be babysat. We're all the same age. It's kind of remarkable. You say, I thought about it before with, you know, what's that reunion going to be like? Because I could see from my mind those first generations of Christians. Again, I use generation there kind of loosely compared to what I'm, you know, trying to say here this morning. But those first 200 years of Christians who lived through the Roman persecutions and all, how will they look upon us American Christians who have lived at ease most of our lives? And think about, you know, the Christians that advanced into the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages and stuff, went through Catholic tortures and Catholic wars, all the things that happened to them, all the horrible ways to die, and maybe they won't even have anything to do with us. On the other hand, maybe they'll look at it like, whoa, at least we got to be taught by the apostles. Or at least we got to be taught by the folks that got taught by the apostles. We lived all the way back there. We got to see those things. We got to know Jesus Christ was here and lived and died for us just in the last 50 or 80 years. Now, these 2022 American Christians, they are so far removed. They never got to see anything. Their faith is totally faith. They never had an opportunity to have John the Beloved stand and preach to them or teach them. They never knew Simon Peter personally or knew Simon Peter's disciple who personally taught us. Those folks were 2,000 years out, and they've still believed on a Savior that died and rose 2,000 years before. And I think that maybe they might even admire us a little bit. Personally, I'm going to be in awe with them. But they might look at you like, wow, this is a generation in a time frame of people that were actually pretty heroic because they had to go totally by faith. They never saw anything. They were never persecuted for Jesus. And living in another country, maybe they could have been. But, ladies and gentlemen, the reunion is going to be a grand thing. God's children, Christ's bride, His body is all going to be together at once on a street of pure gold with all the problems gone and all the tears wiped away. You're telling me that won't be a celebration? I want to say lastly here, I want to mention the word truth. It says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's still nighttime today. Tomorrow's the big day, whenever that comes. The sun rising is the big day. You should anticipate it. You should expect it. It should be something you long for. True, it memorializes some things that are past when Christ died for us, but as much as anything, it anticipates Him coming back for us. It's a celebration. It's a reunion. I want to say the fifth thing I'll say in closing is the word truth. There's one thing that I look forward to besides seeing, Jesus Christ face to face. I'll be glad. We all have this idea, the ideologues among folks that have no biblical background, don't know anything about it. Some of them say, the truth always wins out. No, it doesn't. There are innocent people in jail. There are innocent people that have been executed. Generally speaking, a lot of times, the truth does come out. But it's not a promise by any stretch. Not in this world. And yet you know that, man, that first Passover, those Jews didn't know what to think. They'd killed that lamb and slopped blood over the door. And sitting around, they've eaten all that meat. And they're sitting there going, I wonder what's going to happen now. Well, you know what happened? Exactly what the Lord said would happen. And that night, Pharaoh learned the truth. That night, the Egyptians learned the truth about the God of the Israelites. With regard to the birth of Christ, the Jews had anticipated it for centuries. The Messiah had been foreseen as early as Genesis 3, if they knew to look back that far. And so, there were a few among them that still anticipated it. And of course, the Romans, they were under the thumbs of the Romans. The Romans didn't care. Romans thought it was stupid. Romans thought the Jews were stupid. And this is just crazy religion and just an ancient, something from a fireside legend somehow. And yet, when Jesus Christ was born that night, there were some Jews whose eyes lighted up because they saw the truth come to pass before them. Same is true of the crucifixion. When Jesus Christ, as much as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, was finally crucified. And then He was buried. And then 3 days later He was resurrected. That is the lineage of the gospel, that we have a Savior that lives. Muhammad doesn't live. Allah's not even real. If Allah is anything, He's a devil. The Pope's wrong. Buddha's a nut. There is not a mediator. There is not a door. There is not a way through any religious leader but through Jesus Christ. Because He was the fulfillment of all things. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was, is the truth. The truth has suffered a great deal in all of these eves in which man, you know, looks forward to the next big thing. Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and all these kind of things. And man's always making promises. Man's always saying this is going to happen. And, you know, they tell you all this, but I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was a teenager in the late 70s. And they were telling us then, I know I'm 6 million years old to some of you, but it's actually not true. It just happened last week. Just last week, as far as I'm concerned in my memory, they were saying another ice age is coming. We're going to all die like the mastodons, frozen in a glacier. And now today they're saying, no, no, we're going to melt down. All the glaciers are going to melt. Global warming. You say, well, this is the truth. Who says? You have no clue how this world's going to end. They told us in the 80s that it was going to be a nuclear bomb, that we were all just going to become a nuclear, well, whatever it is, after you're nuked. We were just all going to be nuked dead. There was going to be no earth left. We were just going to be a smoking ball. Somehow that didn't happen either. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that the truth has suffered a great deal. Look at Christmas. As I said before, Santa Claus? Really? Even I, as a child, believing, had a hard time grasping how all the little kids in the world were visited by Santa Claus and all got a present in one night. I didn't think about it much because I was just glad I got mine. Right? The truth has suffered a great deal. Really? Easter bunnies at Easter? Bunny rabbits that lay hard-boiled eggs? Already painted? How does that work in evolution? I'm saying the truth has suffered a great deal. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was a pillar in my theology. I saw the old, I mean, it wasn't a cartoon, was it? It was some sort of, yeah, play thing where Rudolph saved Christmas in spite of the abdominal snowman. I know, it's abominable. The truth has suffered a great deal. The little drummer boy wasn't there. The wise men didn't show up till Jesus was two. The average Catholic doesn't know that. The truth has suffered a great deal. But the night is far spent. The day's at hand. Like I said, a lot of folks, you know, just think that truth will out. The truth will win out somehow. You know, baseball, apple pie, and the American way. Somehow America's always been right in every war. And, you know, the truth just always wins because it favors us. Nah. So what's the point? Truth is coming. Truth suffered a lot. Santa trackers are not real. There have been many rude awakenings in biblical history for unbelieving people. Pharaoh woke up one morning, oh boy, right? Rude awakening. How many times in the Word of God did God deliver the children of Israel, deliver the truth when nobody believed it? Well, I'm just saying that there will be a glad awakening one day. We see lies win all the time, do we not? Is that not one of, if you pay any attention to public life at all, Is that not one of the griefs of your life right now, that they can get away with lying like Persian rugs and never be called on it? One day, it all gets straightened out. One day, The prisoners are set free. One day, all the lies are uncovered. One day, the devil's handprints will be exposed for what they are. I'm telling you, folks, it's still the night before. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, and Santa Claus and reindeer and clipping, clopping on the roof and all that kind of stuff. And so that was last night, so today's Christmas, and so that was last night. No, it's still the night before. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Everything's in front of you. If you're not saved, both the possibility of getting saved or hell is in front of you. You need to move. You need to act. Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again for your sins 2,000 years ago. You've heard it a lot of your life, in part, perhaps in whole. It's time for you to move. Because one day, the truth will out. And it could be today. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, your hopes as Christians is in no way wasted. There will not be anything, any jot or tittle that He's promised that doesn't come to pass. And it starts with Jesus Christ coming back to get you. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a change coming. We shall all be changed. That's going to happen. He promised it. The night, though, is far spent. So, can't you be expectant, anticipatory, on this eve, perhaps this very day, before the real thing happens tomorrow, or perhaps this day before it happens tonight, or perhaps it's next week, or perhaps it's next month? It could be next year. We're running out of years, though. There can only go so far. Maybe next decade, but that's at the outside. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. If you don't know Christ, you need Him today. If you do know Him, you can celebrate. If you do know Him, you know you've got the truth. You're going to see a reunion in not too many days hence that you can't possibly anticipate. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning, and for so many it's Christmas Day, and I can get into the spirit of it just a little bit, Lord, and I have appreciation for the hopes and dreams that people have and for expectations of